No disrespect for the lack of tie. This is unprecedented. I didn't expect this, to say the least. So here we are. There's no proof. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. And I defy anyone to come forward and say otherwise. First of all, thanks for the interest. I mean, to be honest with you, I've done this 24 years. We've taken this show everywhere. It's the 32nd state we've gone. And I've never seen anything like this interest in a game day appearance. So it's very flattering for us. We are taken for granted lots of places we go, and that's okay, because the game is the thing. The pregame show sets the table for the game, but everywhere we go, here included, the game and the program are the main thing, and we're here to just be a vehicle for Bison fans to express what's cool about this place and how pumped up they are about their program and their team, and that's the same. That doesn't change whether we're at Alabama or LSU. And people don't show up as much to see us as they do to show the world what it is about their place that makes it special and why they love their team. And we expect the same thing tomorrow.
When you started doing prep work for coming here, what was the one thing that stood out to you right away when you started looking at this program?
Well, the first thing you look is the flights. How do you get here? But it's only two flights. There are many, many harder places to get to in the FCS landscape and FBS landscape than Fargo, North Dakota, I promise you. We call those places two flights and a drive. No, I mean, we're familiar with the program. As Tom said, we've all watched the playoff games. I've seen the lunacy that is the Fargo Dome, wonder what it was like, and admire the program in recent years and what Greg Bohl and the players have achieved. So I was familiar with it. It wasn't like we were going way off the reservation to a place we'd never heard of. The first thing you get excited about is the opportunity to showcase this program and the division, to educate people. That's been an important thing for game day over the years. If you look back at the 21 years of road shows since 1993, what's been neat is that it has made the sport more national, and it's made people around the country more aware of programs they otherwise wouldn't know much about. People didn't know what Eugene, Oregon looked like on the morning of a big game, or Stillwater, or on and on. And I think that we have the opportunity to show the world what it's like in Fargo, downtown Fargo, but we'll also feature the team in the Fargo Dome and also educate people about the division. I think that, as Tom mentioned, there's a lot about the FCS that the typical viewer of game day doesn't understand. The history of it, the number of players that come out of the division, the number of players currently in the NFL, the way that the championship is settled. I'm a big playoff proponent, and I like the bracket, the way it's been settled on the field here for a long time, very effectively, without all the problems that people perceive a playoff brings with it. So it'll be a showcase for the whole division as well as the Bison.
Were you surprised by the outcry of Bison fans when they picked downtown instead of the Dome area?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think that we appreciate that people are passionate and that they care where we set up. It's a complicated process that we go through when we choose a location. There's lots of criteria, and I would just ask people to have some trust that we know what we're doing. We're trying to showcase the program in the town the best way we can, making it visually unique. I'll tell you a little piece of information that nobody really knows, that I'll share this with you. This week, for a long time, we had sort of plotted to do the show in Times Square. We knew that the schedule in FBS wasn't very strong this week, and this was an opportunity to salute a program or do an alternative show. And we had wanted to do the show in the crossroads of the world in Times Square. For various reasons, that didn't make sense. We latched onto the idea of coming here. So from Times Square to Broadway and Fargo, it seemed like kind of an interesting contrast. And we thought, once we saw the pictures of it, Tom Lucas, our director, was in town all week in charge of choosing the location, among other people. But he was the point guy. And, you know, given the options, we thought it was great. We would not do a show inside a dome. I mean, that's just not, I mean, for us, hours to kick off, there's all kinds of logistical reasons that made it complicated that the school brought up. So once we saw this downtown setting and the iconic marquee and learned a little bit about it, I mean, for us, it was the obvious choice. And seeing what's set up outside here, I think it was the right choice. And I think people will agree with us when they show up Saturday. Ever been to a downtown?
Done a show from?
No, we haven't. That's why that was the opportunity to sort of do it. This will not look like any other game day we've ever done. We have done shows in domes, done shows in parking lots of stadiums, which we're trying to get away from. We've done plenty of shows from campuses, and people would wonder why it isn't on a campus. Again, we need a pretty big footprint. There's so much more that goes on behind the scenes of game day besides a set and some cameras that it requires a lot of space, lots of logistics, and I think that you know, this stood out above the locations we looked at on campus, and next time we'll do it inside the dome.
Chris, as far as it seemed like a Division I town in the time you've been here.
Well, I got here 11:30 last night on a delayed flight, and it seems like a town that is overflowing with enthusiastic fans. I think that's the first thing I'll say we come on the air is this is a hotbed of college football. You may not know it around the country, but the fans here are as crazy and as passionate and as informed and as invested as any anywhere. So that's the first thing to get across. And I definitely have gotten that from fans in the plane to people I bumped into in the street to buy some players who are hanging around, maybe not believing it's real till they see our set. So it's been fun. I look forward to talking to a lot more people, meeting a lot more players. I don't have the luxury of what Tom was doing. I was entangled with Mac Brown all day yesterday, so I had other obligations. Didn't get here till late last night.
How much do you think your staff knows about the FCS? That's something I know you know quite a bit about, but is that something that you are kind of educating everyone else to say?
Well, it's not my job to educate them. I mean, I think that people know their assignments, and once we come here, they'll learn a lot about it. As I said, we've seen the top programs in FCS because we watch the playoff games. I mean, as a playoff proponent, I'm very curious to see how it unfolds, what the games look like, how they feel like. And so we're familiar with the top programs in the division. And obviously, it gets your attention when you beat Kansas State and have success against FBS teams. But I think the broader issue of this division, the quality of it, the history of it, everybody sort of takes it on their own to research it. We've got people on staff like Todd McShay, who played quarterback, who'll be on the show from Bristol. George Whitfield is a new hire for us, was briefly at Youngstown State, but he's going to brief people on some of the top quarterbacks, Jensen included, at the FCS level. So we've done our homework as we would anywhere else, and I think people will be glad. I mean, it's not a three-hour show on North Dakota State. I just want to say that. Everybody here should understand that, and people showing up behind us should know that we are obliged to do our main mission, which is to cover the country nationally, and even though it's sort of a thin slate, there still are some interesting games at FBS level, and we'll talk a lot about those. We have spent at least as much on North Dakota State, though, as we would on just about any host school for game day. I'll say that. The makeup of the rundown that Lee put together, it features the Bison and this division as much as any host school for game day would.
Since you guys are into predictions, who would
some of us are. I stay out of that game.
Who would win this matchup? Lee Corso in his prime at Florida State against Desmond Howard in his prime?
Ooh. Oh, man. Good question. Wait a minute now. Well, the Sunshine Scooter played offense and defense, so he's got that going for him. Desmond played offense and special teams. I love Lee. I've seen some of the highlights, and he had the career interception record at Florida State before Deion Sanders broke it in a bowl game, which people don't realize. Heisman speaks pretty loudly. I mean, Des is a pretty good player. I mean, a guy who's a Heisman winner and the Super Bowl MVP. Times were different, let's say, in the eras when Lee played and Desmond played. Players got a little faster. But Corso was good for his day, I'll say that.
There's a lot of people out there who don't even realize.
Yeah, well, Corso was it was a black and white era.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the old film with the Sunshine Scooter and Burt Reynolds and heard the tales, but no, he was a very good player.
Will there be a celebrity guest picker?
Yes, there will be. I don't know, have we announced that? We haven't announced it yet. We are in the process of finalizing that, but it's someone with Bison roots. I don't want to say it because we've talked about it. I think it's been sort of nailed down for a few days, but Lee's left the room, so I can't get the nod of approval. We're it's basically a done deal, but it's not a big secret. I mean, I'll say who it is later on or tomorrow morning at the start of the show. You probably can guess. Pardon me?
Do you see the gap shrinking as well between the FCS and FBS?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to make a distinction. We're going to be very clear that you can't describe FCS in a sentence. You guys know better than I do, but the scope of the division is huge. It encompasses all sorts of different schools, different levels of football. Again, we're talking about the top level of FCS. We're talking about teams that regularly beat teams from BCS AQ conferences and put players into the league. I mean, I think that at that level, the gap is growing. I mean, we'll put some numbers out there that Las Vegas provided us. And that's not the final arbiter of what a quality team is, but they're not in the business of losing money. So they rank teams pretty accurately, I think. And they've told us North Dakota State would be ranked well above, in their terms, maybe 70 programs. in FBS, including a lot of them in AQ conferences. So it's our mission to describe the talent level and sort of explain more about the division, because I think when you look at this division, which encompasses the Ivy League, HBCs, programs from all over the place, it's hard to just generalize about it. But I think that the gap at the top level of this division is certainly shrinking. I mean, that's a fact.
You've done your homework on the Bison. You said you watched them in the national championships. What do you think of this NDSU football team and this crop that they have here?
I'll tell you what Mac Brown told me yesterday when I was talking to him, and he's watching Kansas State tape. Excellent team, fundamentally sound, mature. They played like you'd want a team to play as a coach. They represent discipline, sound football. They don't try to trick you necessarily. Blue-collar mentality, that's what we'll get across, I think. It's not that they're winning these championships with smoke and mirrors. Just old-fashioned basic football, getting the most out of the players that they attract, getting players from farther afield than I imagined before I started looking into the roster. So, you know, when the coach of Texas tells you that a team that he's scared to death to play that got beat on its home field in a comeback by North Dakota State, that tells me that there's national respect.
What do you think you're most surprised about that you've learned about this Bison team, area, whatever it might be?
Huh, that's a good question. I mean, I still got to learn more. I mean, I don't show up here well-schooled. That's why I stay up till 2 in the morning on Friday night. I mean, we'll know more Saturday when we have to. But I think that the passionate support of the people and the atmosphere that the Fargo Dome imposes on visitors is something that gets your attention. When you look at the videos that are all over YouTube about the entrance and how tough it is to play and how crazy their fans are, how supportive they are. They like social media. You have Twitter in North Dakota, evidently, because I've heard from lots of people, and that's been cool. You know, that's something you're not aware of. Again, I see the playoff games, and we follow the bracket, and we know when FCS teams pull upsets. But to hear from the fans and feel the support, and that's why we're so excited, all of us, about tomorrow morning.
Do you guys get to stay for any of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, typically, if we don't have post-game responsibilities, people have to get out and do other things. Hope to. I mean, it's not easy to get out of Fargo, but that's. I mean, I didn't stay for Notre Dame, Michigan. It just sort of depends. It's a week to week thing. We had responsibilities last week for Alabama A&M, and frankly, I wasn't going to leave. You would have had to lock me up and drag me out of town and miss that game. But it's sort of a week to week thing, so we're still sorting that out. Thanks again for your interest. We're really excited. I hope the show lives up to what people expect, and we'll do it again.